Amen. 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 Thank you, ladies, for that. Listen, he is the source of our strength. Amen. There is no other. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Boys and girls, you may go to children's church this morning, ages 4 through kindergarten. And then up from there is play practice. So, boys and girls, if you generally know where you're supposed to go, I think. And good deal. You should have received an outline in your bulletin this morning. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand, one of our ushers will get one of those to you here momentarily. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I just want to echo what Dan said. Praise God. I am grateful for you and your faithfulness. And listen, for those of you who have been around for a while, thank you for your faithfulness. For those of you who have been around more recently, thank you for your faithfulness. And together, we can do what God's called us to do. Amen? As God's called us to reach this community for Christ. One of the reasons, if you are maybe more recent here in coming to Southside Baptist Church, we had you on our mind when we did all this. Okay? God loved you from the foundations of the world. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was willing. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knew from before it all started that he would have to go to the cross for you and for me. And he did it. Amen? And that's news worth telling. And we know that a genuine, long, fulfilled life only happens in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the only way we can go to heaven to be with him is when we put our faith and trust in him. So that's why we're here. That's why we're telling the news. That's why we believe this community needs to be reached for Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. This morning we are continuing in our series on stewardship that is entitled Totally His. And we've been talking about how we handle our finances, how we handle our money, how we are good stewards. And this morning we're going to talk about getting some investment advice. I don't know about you, but I can always stand to listen to a little investment advice, right? A little financial advice and how to handle our finances and so forth. Well, first of all, you know, there's the no-brainer investment advice. This is the stuff we all just kind of, we've all heard and we all know. In fact, you can probably say it with me, buy low, sell. All right, see, you've heard it, right? That's just a no-brainer investment advice. Diversify, 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 right? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's right. You've heard that. We know that. And we know we're supposed to, we try to get the best interest rate we can with at the same time limiting and not taking too much what? Risk, all right? Those are some basic financial principles, investment principles. If we want to take it a step further, if we want some more advanced investment advice, maybe we go to somebody like Warren Buffett. You ever heard of him? I think so. Most of you probably have. Warren Buffett is the fourth richest man in the world. In fact, one thing I read said if he weren't prone to giving away so much of his money to charity, he might be the richest man in the world. Well, I think it's okay that he's just the fourth, amen? It's okay he's just the fourth. In fact, Buffett's personal net worth hovers at right around $55 billion. $55 billion. As he and his investment firm, Berkshire Hathaway, that's how he's gotten it. He's invested money. So I think he's a worthy person we should listen to for some investment advice, right? So I scoured and looked at some things of his this week. I put together a list of just five pieces of investment advice. A lot of times he gives little nuggets here and there. Five things. These are bonus things, all right? Some of you may want to write these things down. They're good stuff. You know what his rule number one is? And this ought to be, I think we all can agree with this. His rule number one, never lose money. Never lose money, right? It's a good rule. You know what his rule number two is? Don't forget rule number one, all right? That's good. That's good. So those are his first two. That's our one. Second of all, he says, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. Think about that. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good. Third, he says, price is what you pay. Value is what you get. Whether we're talking about socks or stocks, he says, I like buying quality merchandise when it's marked down. Now, ladies, you ought to be able to say what? Amen to that one, right? Guys, we like a bargain too, right? Fourth, he says, never count on making a good sale. Don't count on it. When you buy a stock, have the purchase price be so attractive that even a mediocre sale gives good results. I think that's pretty good advice. Pretty good advice there. And number five, I love this one most of all. He says, I try to buy stock in businesses that are so great and are so wonderful an idiot can run them. Because sooner or later, one will. I love that. I think that's some pretty good advice. But you know what? We talk about the no-brainer advice. We can get advice from Warren Buffett. But friends, there is no better place to get investment advice than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No better place than to get it than the Lord Jesus Christ. We go straight to the top. In our text today, right here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us some investment advice. I want you to look at it with me this morning, beginning in verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says, and you've heard this before, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Friends, so Jesus' first piece of investment advice for us, we see here in verse 19, is simply this. Don't stockpile earthly treasure because it won't last. Amen? Now, friends, you say, well, Pastor, that's just opposite. Well, you're talking about how to invest in the stock market. It's just opposite of what we just talked about. Well, friends, I think Jesus is a worthy person to listen to. Amen? And look at what he says here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, last week we talked about being good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. Everything that I have, everything that you have, is not ours. We talked about that, right? We as good Christians, we need to understand that everything we have in our possession ultimately is not mine. Who does it belong to? Belongs to God. And I am entrusted with it while I am here on earth, and I need to do the best I can to be a good steward of what God has entrusted me with. Amen? That goes for our finances, that goes for our talent, that goes for our time. Amen? All of that we need to be good stewards of. Now, as we talk about and we think about being a good steward of what God's entrusted to us, there's certain things that we need, right? We need food. Right? Of course, I know some of you look like you could go a little long without it, but anyway. We need food, right? We need clothing. Praise God for clothing. I praise God that you have on clothes this morning. Amen? And we need shelter. Now, some of us would maybe add a few other things to that. Most of you would probably add running water to that need. Amen? Running water. How about an indoor toilet? Anybody want to go back to going outside during the middle of the night? Probably not, okay? Probably most of us have never experienced that. Maybe some of you have. We would also probably add electricity. Praise God for that, right? Heat when it gets really cold. Air conditioner when it gets really hot. Some sort of means of communication. And you know what? We could go on and on and on and talk about what we need versus what we want or what we think we need. But here's the deal. The reality is, I don't think we realize how rich we really are here in America. Do you realize how rich, how wealthy we are here in America? I want to give you some statistics to kind of bring this into focus for us this morning. How many of you, all right, made $1,500 last year? If you made just $1,500 in the whole year, I want to ask you to just raise your hand, all right? That ought to be most of us that are working, all right? Now, if you're a stay-at-home mom, listen, I know you're working in the home, so you can kind of, with your husband, but $1,500 in the whole year, most of us, if you're working at all, made at least that much. Well, if you made $1,500 last year, you're in the top 20% of the world's income earners. Did you realize that? In fact, if you have sufficient food, decent clothes, live in a house or apartment, and have a reasonably reliable means of transportation, if you have those things, you're among the top 15% of the world's wealthy. If you earn $25,000 or more annually. Now, $25,000, I don't know exactly where the poverty level is, but that's probably somewhere around it, right? $25,000 a year. If you earn $25,000 or more a year annually, you are in the top 10% of the world's income earners. And if you make $48,000 a year or more, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. I don't know about you, but that's a shocking statistic. Amen? And it causes me to realize in America, we are very spoiled. Can I get now an amen? Amen. We are very wealthy. We are very rich. Yet we bellyache. Amen? Because we don't have this and we don't have that and blah, 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 blah. We could really debate. We could sit here and we could debate all day how much we really need versus the things that are just wants or desires or luxuries. But here's Jesus' point in verse 19. It's very simple. The point is we should not continue to stockpile riches, stuff here on earth. It's that simple. Amen? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, why? Why does he say that? Does he say that because it's wrong? Well, I want you to look at the verse again. He says it, and you know what? I would tend to say it is against what Christ says, so it is wrong, but that's not the reason he gives for not laying up treasures. Look at what he says. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus isn't saying it's just wrong. Here's what he's saying. He says, don't store up treasures on earth because it's stupid. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, don't accumulate stuff here on earth because it will all eventually rust, rot, decay, be eaten up, or stolen. Amen? How many of you remember a man by the name of Ross Perot? You might remember Ross Perot from a few years ago, you know? I think short, little, wealthy billionaire guy from Texas and ran for president back in the 90s and so forth. I'm not going to ask how many of you voted for Ross Perot back then, all right? But I want to read to you a comment. Forbes magazine quotes billionaire H. Ross Perot. I can't help. I'm going to try to do a little impersonation here as I do this. So you can really get the effect of it, okay? This may be the worst impression you've ever heard in your life, all right? It may take me a minute to get into it. We'll see. Guys, just remember, if you get real lucky, if you make a lot of money, if you go out and buy a lot of stuff, it's going to break. You got your biggest, fanciest mansion in the world. It has air conditioning, got a pool. Just think of all the pumps that are going to go out. Or go to a yacht basin any place in the world. Nobody is smiling, and I'll tell you why. Something broke that morning. The generator's out. The microwave oven doesn't work. Things just don't mean happiness. Amen? Amen. Isn't something always breaking? Isn't something always going out? Amen? Isn't something always just decaying and tearing down? I want to ask you a question. I'm going to throw up some pictures up here in just a second. And when I do, I want to ask this question. Would you buy this? Now, some of you probably would, but let me ask it this way. Would you invest your money in this? Here's number one. Would you invest your money in this? Let me ask it this way. Is it a smart investment? No. All right? I don't think the best handyman in the world could fix that place up. Amen? Now, but let me ask you another question. Has this house always looked like this? At one point, yeah, I hope not. At one point or another, this thing was new. What happened to it? You know what happened to it? Time happened to it. Time happened to it. And anything we have on this earth that we don't continue to maintain and keep up, how many of you are like me and you hate to maintain stuff? Anybody like that here? I hate to. I'd rather buy something and it lasts for eternity. If I can buy it, you know, there's certain things, and God gives us some things. Gold doesn't wear down, right? Steel, some of those things, whatever. Steel rusts, but, you know, the gold, certain things are take longer periods of time and stuff like that, but eventually everything on this earth is going to break down. Amen? Everything. So here's the deal. Remember, your house doesn't look like that now, but if you stop doing all the things that you know you got to do to keep it up and stop putting all the money into you got, what's it going to look like? It may look like this, right? Show up the next picture. How many of you need a new ride, all right? You can't. That's my car. No, I'm just kidding. Now listen, some people might say, well, I'd like to fix that up and stuff. If you're going to fix that up, you're going to sink more money into it than it's worth. Amen? That's exactly what you're going to do. It's not a smart investment. But here's the deal. Did it originally look like that? No, not at all. How about this next one here? Okay? How many of you go to the store and buy a sweater with holes in it? No. Well, what does Jesus say here? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. So we buy our clothes and stuff like that. It doesn't have that. But listen, how long can clothes last? They deteriorate. They break down, right? And they wear out over time. Look at this next one here. Anybody love VW Beetles? Have any VW Beetle fans here? Listen, you may say, you know what? I'd love to have that VW Beetle. But here's the deal. It wasn't like that when it started, right? You know what? And you probably shouldn't invest your money in that because it's a bad investment. But listen, when it wasn't like this to start with, it looked more like something like this. So here's the deal. We need to change our mindset, okay? We see nice stuff like this and we think, oh, I want it. I got to have it. I got to buy it or whatever. Or we see something, whatever. Let's not look at it and see it like this. Let's look at it and see it for what it's going to be like this. Amen? And understand, you know, when we go buying stuff and putting our money into stuff and investing in things on this earth, what's it going to do? It's going to rust, it's going to rot, it's going to decay, it's going to break down. Jesus says, don't invest in treasures on this earth because it's simply foolish. Amen? Number two, the second nugget of investment advice Jesus gives us this morning is this. Instead of investing in earthly things, we should invest in heaven where treasures will last. Amen? We should invest in heaven where treasures will last. Look at verse 20. And we're going to read verse 19 again because it just goes together. Jesus says, 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. My friends, why should we invest in eternal things? Why should we store up treasures in heaven instead of treasures here on earth? I'm sure we give a lot of reasons, but the reason Jesus says right here is because it's smart. It's good business, amen? Because treasures here on earth are not going to last. Treasures in heaven, are they going to last? Absolutely, for all eternity. I want you to note a couple of things here in verse 20. First of all, Jesus says that he wants you to store up treasure. Now, a lot of people think, well, okay, Jesus doesn't want us to store up. He doesn't want us to accumulate stuff and what have you. And the reality is, Jesus doesn't want us to store up and accumulate stuff here on earth. He does want us to store up and accumulate stuff in heaven. Amen? Now, we think about that, and we think of a lot of abstract things, right? We think about the abstract things of our time and our talent, and we invest that in the kingdom and stuff. But Jesus here is specifically talking about our money. What are you doing with what God's entrusted to you? Are you investing in stuff that's going to rust, rot, decay? Or are you investing it in things and people and ministries that are going to make a difference for all eternity? That's the question. That's the point he wants to make. He wants us, and we should be storing up treasure in heaven. But here's one other thing we need to notice here. He wants us to store up treasure for ourselves. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds awful selfish. Well, the selfishness comes in when we try to do it in our own way and not God's way. Amen? Jesus wants you to store up treasures for you, not here in heaven. In other words, friends, there will be rewards in heaven for what we do here on earth. And the more you invest in things that are of eternal value here on earth, remember last week we talked about the passage that says that in the end times, in that day, and when we stand before the Lord, everything we do will be revealed. All the works that we have done will be revealed, whether they are like wood, hay, wood and hay and stuff, and straw, and that they will burn up. Or if they are like gold, silver, and precious stones, and they will last. Friends, what we're doing with our time, our talent, and yes, our resources, where you're investing that, is that going to last for eternity? Or is it going to burn up with everything here on earth? Amen? Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Suppose I offer you today, as a free gift, $10,000. You say, amen, right? Amen. Praise God, Pastor. Come on, let's preach it. I like that kind of preaching, amen? Suppose I offer you $10,000. Well, let's suppose I give you a choice. Suppose then instead of just offering you a $10,000, I give you a choice. You can either have $10,000 today, or you can have $10 million 5 years from now. $10,000 today, $10 million 5 years from now. Now, which would you choose? Friends, it would be foolish not to wait the 5 years and choose the $10 million. Amen? There's no way $10,000 is going to turn into $10 million in 5 years. Okay? Here's the deal. Friends, the same thing is true with us. It is foolish to put our resources, our money, and things on this earth. Do not store up treasures for yourselves here on earth. Instead, store it up, invest in heaven. Amen? Where treasures will last. Randy Alcorn puts it this way. He says, don't ask how your investment will be paying off in 30 years. That's kind of what we do, right? I need to invest my money in a good place so that when I get to retirement, I'm going to have some money to live off of. He says, don't look at your investment as what it'll pay off in 30 years. Look at your investment as what's the payoff going to be in 30 million years. Eternity's a long time, amen? Will your investments, the way you choose to invest your money, your time, and your talents, continue to be paying off 30 million years from now? Now, we've all heard it said, you can't take it with you, right? A lot of people try. You can't take it with you. But here's a biblical principle. We can't take it with us, but friends, we can send it on ahead. We can send it on ahead. I want to illustrate this for you this morning. And it's kind of like this. I want you to imagine that you're alive at the end of the Civil War. Now, I know some of you have got some years on me, but nobody's that old. Amen? Harvey, you're not there yet, right? Okay, weren't around the Civil War. Thank you. Imagine you're alive at the end of the Civil War. You're living in the South, but you're a Yankee. You're a Northerner. You plan to move home as soon as the war is over. But while in the South, you've worked and you've saved and you've accumulated lots of Confederate money. Now, suppose that somehow, some way, you know for a fact that the North is going to win the war. Suppose that you know the North is going to win the war and the end is imminent. If you've been in the South and you've made lots of money and it's all in Confederate money, but you know that the war's about to be over and the North is going to win, what should you do with your Confederate money? You ought to change it to what? Northern, right? U.S. currency, what was being used in the North. Any smart person would only keep enough Confederate currency to meet their immediate needs until the war was over. Now, I know you folks are some smart folks. Do you see the spiritual application there? The spiritual application is this, friends. Listen, this world is not our home. Amen? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this world is not our home. And let me give you another thing. Here's the deal. We have the greatest insider trading tip there ever was. And that is this. The Lord Jesus is coming back one day. It can happen at any time. And friends, when he comes back, all of the currency, American currency, European currency, all whatever, is going to, you know what's going to happen when the world ends? It's going to be worthless. It's going to be worth absolutely nothing. So it only makes sense to take what we have now and invest it in eternity. Amen? Things that make a difference for eternity. We're translating our currency into heavenly currency. Amen? And investing in heaven. Friends, whether it's when we die or when Jesus comes back, Earth's currency is what's going to happen to it? It's going to be gone. It's going to be worthless. So we need to invest in heaven while where treasures will last. Now, how do we do that? That's a great question. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a minute. Before we do, let me give you the third investment principle that Jesus gives us this morning. Number three, the third investment principle, or the third life principle here, is this. Your heart will always go where you put your money. Your heart will always go where you put your money. Or better stated, where you put God's money. Amen? It all belongs to Him. Look at verse 21. And friends, you know this. Listen, if you don't have this memorized, this is a good one to start with. Amen? It's a pretty simple one. Verse 21 says this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Say it with me. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And friends, this verse is saying two things. First of all, here's what it's saying. It says you can tell what someone loves by where they spend their money. We've talked about this, but the reality is you look at my checkbook, I look at your checkbook, we can tell what you love by where you spend your money, right? What your hobbies are, what you value, what's important to you. But friends, this verse, the converse is also true, and the application is this. Wherever you put your money is what you will love the most. Did you hear that? Not only can you tell what someone loves by where they spend their money, but where they put their money is what they're going to love the most. You know, if someone, we talked about restoring a car a few minutes ago. If someone sinks money into restoring a car, what do we say? We say that car is their baby, right? That's their love. And they spend time on it and so forth. Friends, your heart will always follow after where you put your money. I want to prove this to you this morning. How many of you love DuPont? You don't love DuPont? You don't love, do you even know what I'm talking about? And maybe you don't. Here's the logo, DuPont, okay? Maybe you recognize it more right like this, okay? Oh, yeah, DuPont. Okay, there you go. One of Jeff Gordon's sponsors a few years ago. You say, well, some of you still saying, I really don't know what DuPont is. DuPont is an American chemical company. It's been around since 1802. And you say, well, Pastor, I really could care less. Here's why you ought to care about DuPont, because they have developed many polymers that are used in the products that you use every day. Things such as neoprene, nylon, corian, Teflon, Mylar, Kevlar, Tyvek, Lycra, and Freon. Oh, yeah, now you know who DuPont is, right? You say, you still say, Pastor, I could care less about all that, and that's my point. My point is, you could care less about it. But let me ask you a question. Let's suppose that you go out and you decide to buy some shares of DuPont stock. What happens then? All of a sudden, you love DuPont, right? If they're doing well, at the very least, you're concerned about DuPont, right? And you pick up the paper or you look on the internet, and you see what the stock is trading for, because now you have a vested interest in DuPont. Maybe you're reading through a magazine and you see an article on a new polymer that DuPont is in process of developing. And now, because you have money invested in DuPont, you read that article from front to back, interested in every little ounce of what you can get there. Friends, whereas a month before, you didn't care anything about DuPont. You see, here's the principle. Your heart will always go where you put your money. Your heart will always go where you put your money. Now, here's the application for us. We say we love the Lord Jesus, amen? You know why more people don't care about and don't come to church and aren't involved in Bible study and all that other? Because they're just not invested in it. They're not invested in it. They have invested nothing back into their relationship with the Lord. I've heard people say before, I wish I had a greater heart for missions. We heard our missions, Carol talk about our missions this morning. People say, I wish I had a greater heart for missions. Well, friends, you know how to get a greater heart for missions? Start investing in missions. Start putting your money there. Then you're going to care about it more. Many people say, I wish I cared more about eternal things. Then guess what? Put your money in things that are you're investing for eternity, amen? And you'll begin to care more about those things. Where you put your money, your heart will follow. We need to invest in eternity. You say, but Pastor, how do I do that? What does it mean to invest in eternal things? Well, friends, it simply means to invest in things that will last for eternity. Now, what is that? Friends, there's really only one thing from this earth that's going to last for eternity. There's only one thing from this earth that's going to go into eternity. Do you know what that is? It's the souls of men and women. Your soul, when you die, is going to step out into eternity. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? Not because of what you did, but simply because you trusted what he did on the cross and shed his body and his blood for you, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have the security of knowing that when you step out into eternity, your soul is going to be with Jesus. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? And we praise God for that. But listen, everybody, there are other people out here in the world too. Amen? And their soul, when they step into eternity, is going to go somewhere. Is it going to be heaven? Is it going to be in hell? How do we invest in eternity? Friends, we invest in ministries, in churches, in activities, in doing things that bring people to Jesus. Amen? That's how we store up treasure in heaven. We invest our money in ministries, in doing things that will bring people to Jesus. We invest our time, we invest our talent, we invest our resources in things that will, in activities that will bring people to Jesus. Here's the deal. There are a lot of good causes out in the world today, right? There's a lot of good causes. You could go out there and choose any one of them and stuff. And you know what? There's a lot of good causes and a lot of good organizations that are doing a lot of good. But as for me and my household, I choose to invest in organizations and ministries that are going to make a difference for eternity. That are going to make a difference for eternity. Listen, friends, we can go out there and save all the trees in the world, but you know what's going to happen to them eventually? They're going to burn up with all the rest of the world. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't know that I believe that. Well, then we've got another issue, and you need to read your Bible, okay? But here's the deal. If everything on this earth is going to be gone one day, then what I'm putting my resources into, I want to make sure it lasts for eternity. So everything I do, I want to measure. When I look at something and I say, do I want to give my money to this? Are they making an impact for eternity? And here's what that means. Listen, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are a lot of good causes out there today, okay? But we can raise all the money in the world to defeat all the diseases we want to here on this earth. But if people step into eternity and they don't know Jesus, they're still going to hell. And all we've done is put a Band-Aid on a problem that is an internal, eternal problem. The most important thing you can do for anybody is to tell them about the love of Jesus when he died on the cross to pay the penalty for their sins. That he redeemed them from their sins. That is nothing we can do in and of ourselves, but we simply believe and trust that God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, so that if we will put our faith and trust in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, that's the most important thing you can ever do for anyone. Amen? And on top of that, friends, because of that, the way and the most important investment you can make on this earth is investing in things that are working for that purpose. Amen? Investing in people, investing in missionaries, investing in churches, investing in organizations that have that goal and that goal in mind. Now listen, I do understand that there are organizations that do some of those other things in order to bring people to Jesus, and that's a good thing. Amen? Any way we can is a good thing. But here's the deal. And we talked about this last week. We talked about having a plan. I like the way Andy Stanley puts this. He says this. He says, every Christian ought to have a triple plan. Every Christian ought to have a triple plan. You ought to have a saving plan. You ought to have a spending plan, a.k.a. a budget, right? And you ought to have a giving plan. Now, you know what's going to happen if you don't have a plan? If you don't have a plan, you're going to save too little, you're going to spend too much, and you're going to give God the leftovers, if there are any. Amen? I got quiet in here all of a sudden. But is that not what happens? We save too little, we spend too much, and we give God the leftovers. Friends, here's the plan that God sets forth in the Bible, okay? Here's the plan. There's a simple three-step plan. Now listen, we could go into lots of different things and a lot of detail and stuff like that, and if you need help with a budget or other things like that, we can help you with that, okay? But I want to give you, I believe it really boils down to priorities. It really boils down to priorities. Three-step plan. Number one, give first. Give first. Listen, isn't God more important to us than the leftovers? Is that how you want him to treat you? No, God doesn't treat us that way. Amen? God doesn't treat us that way. He put us first. He put us above himself. Jesus Christ put us above himself when he stepped out of heaven, when he was spat on, when he was ridiculed, when he went to the cross and everything that he went through there. He put us first. Friends, we need to give first. We need to give of our first fruits. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but that simply shows God that you're honoring him in your life. What does it mean when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Does Lord mean that you make Jesus third place in your life? Does Lord mean you make him 10th place after all the other things? Does Lord even mean you make Jesus second place? All right, Jesus, me first, you second. No. Jesus as Lord of our life means that he is first place in our life. That everything I do goes through a filter in my brain, in my thinking, in everything that is what I'm doing, or the choices I'm making, or the things I'm doing, putting Jesus first in this situation. So friends, needless to say, we need to give first. Amen? Second, we need to save. Amen? Need to save. Need to save for a rainy day and kind of look outside. This is one of those. Amen? Here's the deal. We've already talked about it, but we live here on this earth. It's not a matter of if things are going to break down. It's a matter of when. Okay? So we need to save up. Listen, I don't know why it surprises some people that their car needs tires every now and then. Amen? You know? Listen, let me just give you a hint. Your car's going to need tires. Amen? It's going to need gas. Okay? And guess what? Your house is going to need painting every few years. Okay? I know, I've already said it this morning, but I'm one of those people, I wish there was some kind of paint I could paint the house and I would never need it again, okay? And they're getting better with that stuff. It lasts a long time, but it's still, it's going to need it. So what are we supposed to do? Scriptural thing is we save up for it. For big, maybe there's things that we need to do around our house or whatever like that. God's plan is not to go into debt for it. God's plan is set some aside as you prosper, and then so that when something happens, you can take care of it, right? And then you don't have to lean on somebody else. Amen? And you can then give more. Amen? So we give first, we save second, and yes, we need to save for retirement or save for a time, maybe when we're out of work or when we are disabled or something like that. And then the third thing is give first, save second, live off the rest. We tend to spend, save, and give last, don't we? Isn't Jesus more important to us than that? I just want to simply ask you a question. I really believe in you guys. I praise God for what he's done. Dan talked about some of this. I praise God for that. Many of you here are faithful. You are faithful givers. Not only do you give and do you tithe, but you give over and above. You give sacrificially of what God has blessed you with. Many of you haven't learned that yet. And I just want to challenge you. Friends, it's a matter of priorities. Is Jesus who in your life, who you really say he is in your life? Because remember, all this stuff is going to be gone. It's going to be worthless. The only thing that's going to last is what's in heaven. Pastor in Alabama told a story about something that happened to a sweet widow in his church. Similar to what Dan talked about, he says, we were in a capital stewardship campaign to raise money to build a new building. He said, there's one particular lady in our church named Nell who was a widow. Nell's husband had left her a lot of money, and she actually had a lot more than she really needed. She loved the Lord and she loved her church, but she tended to be rather conservative. He said, we had a banquet one night, and she wrote down an amount on her card that she wanted to give that was a very safe amount. It wasn't a risk for her at all. After they filled out their cards that evening, the pastor then spoke on the passage that we've actually looked at today here in Matthew chapter 6. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In preaching about this, he talked about how a moth eats up wool when it's stored, not when it's worn. He went into great detail about moths. He also spoke on how rust destroys tools when they are stored, not when they're being used. His point was that when we store up God's resources, they don't accomplish anything. Amen? We have to use them or they become like moth-eaten garments or rust-encrusted tools. Of course, Nell went home from that banquet that night feeling a little bit guilty about the amount she committed because she had been very safe in her pledge. She walked up to her front door, and as she did, she opened her purse and to get out her key. And she was shocked by what happened next. When she opened her purse, somehow a huge moth had gotten into her purse. And when she opened it, all of a sudden that moth began to flutter out of her purse and flew away. Now, Nell later said that God spoke to her through that moth. The pastor joked that he had a hard time getting that moth in her pocketbook. But Nell says she really believes God put it there. Listen to what she said. In fact, right after it happened, she returned to the church that very night, asked for her card back, crossed out the amount she put. She doubled the amount of her gift, stood there a minute later, crossed it out again, and tripled the amount. Nell said God used that moth to teach her that she didn't need to be storing up her money here on earth. She needed to be using it to further God's kingdom here on earth. Friends, how about you? Are you investing in your kingdom or God's kingdom? I think it just really requires us to do a real heart check. Amen? Where are your priorities? Are you putting Jesus first in your life? Is that demonstrated in your time? You give the first thing you listen when you're asked to serve somewhere, you say, well, I can't because I'm doing this, or I can't, I'm doing this or stuff. Or do you organize the rest of your priorities around serving the Lord? Do you organize your finances? Say, well, whatever's left at the end of the month, then I'll see what we have left and then I'll give to the Lord. Or do you put Him first and the first thing that comes out is what you give to the Lord? We said this a couple weeks ago. God doesn't need your money. It's not really about your money. It's about your heart. And it's about where your heart really is. And what God tells us is that where we put our money, where we put our time, where we put our resources is an indicator of where our heart is. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to ask you to just close your eyes for just a moment. Bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I just want to ask you a couple simple questions. If you're here this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, if you say, Pastor, I need to get my priorities, I need to make sure my priorities are right. If that's where you are today and you want to make Jesus Christ first priority in your life, and maybe you've trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, but just by looking at the things we've talked about this morning, you come to realize, Pastor, all indications in my life are that it's not. Would you just raise your hand? I just want to lift you up to the Lord this morning. Would you raise your hand if you just want to get your priorities? You want to make sure Jesus Christ is first in your life. Would you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here this morning. You know what? You realize the importance of what we're talking about. You've been faithful in tithing and giving over and above that for years. And you experience God's blessing because of that. I want to challenge you this morning to begin looking at everything that the world throws out in front of us, that the world says we need, that we know that it really just wants. To begin to look at those things as the rusty, moth-eaten, decaying things that they are. and ask ourselves this question: is this really where I want to invest God's money? Maybe some of you here this morning and you've come to realize, you know what, Pastor? I need Jesus in my life. I need Him. I need to put my faith and trust in Him as my Lord and Savior, and I want to do that today. Friends, if you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sins, invite Him into your life, He'll come in right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for what You've done for us. Lord, I thank You for those who have raised their hand this morning, Lord. Maybe any others who are still struggling with this, Lord, that want to make sure You're top priority in their life, Lord. Lord, we say You're Lord, but does it really play out in our lives? Lord, I pray for each one, Lord, that You will show them and convict them, Lord, of the changes that they need to make. Lord, so this will not be some feel-good moment where we just leave here and we say, yeah, I've changed my priorities, but there's no changes that take place. But friends, where we actually really make changes in our life to let our life line up with what we say. Lord, I just ask that You help each one here this morning do that. Lord, as we come to You, we respond to You this morning, Lord, in the conviction we feel in our hearts. Lord, that this world is not our home. Lord, help us have eyes to see where we can invest in eternity and in heaven and not just here on earth. That the things of this earth are passing away, but eternal, heavenly things, the souls of men and women and boys and girls are what really matter. And help us to invest. Lord, help us to not just be donors to Your kingdom, but help us to be investors in Your kingdom. Lord, help us to be ones who really who are Your army to see Your kingdom here on earth expanded. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together now. Friends, if there's a decision you've made, maybe those priorities you need to get, the altar's open. I invite you to come this morning. Whatever God's speaking to your heart about, maybe it's something else, totally different. Maybe you need to come and you just need to say, you know what? Lord, I just need you to wrap Your arms around me today. You know what? He'll do that. Amen? He'll do that. We're here. You come as we sing. Whatever you need to respond to the Lord, you do that.
Alas, did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. Be seated, if you will, for just a moment. Take out your communication cards, if you will. If you haven't done so already, if you would do me a favor and just put your name on the front, any pertinent information. On the back is, as Josh said earlier, a place for prayer requests. If you're visiting with us today, we are so glad you are here, and we would love to have a record of your visit. If you'll come see me right outside these doors, we have a gift for you called The Case for Christ. It is a DVD and by Lee Strobel, and it's his search is all this stuff about Jesus really true? And this is our gift to you. If you'll come, just shake hands with me. I'd love to meet you, and I'd be glad to get that for you as well. Ushers, you come on forward, and if you still need some more time to write, you can hand it to me or Josh on the way out, or give it to one of our ushers later on. Also, this morning, a couple of quick things. Kind of late in the game on this, but Thanksgiving is coming up in less than 2 weeks. So this is my fault. I didn't get this started in time. Man, these holidays just kind of roll around, don't they? Man, it's fast. It really is. It really is. But here's the deal. We're going to provide holiday food baskets for those who need them, first of all, in our church family. So if you or your family is in need of a food basket, you come see me or call me. There's information in your bulletin about that. If you know somebody that does, if you will let me know, we want to help them out this Thanksgiving, okay? And if you... For the rest of you, here's the deal. We're going to be collecting cans and non-perishable goods and things this week and up through next Sunday. I know it's short time, all right, but you still got 7 days, right? You know what? 7 days, we can, listen, Jesus rose from the grave in 3, amen? And hey, created the whole world in 7 days. So, you know, we got plenty of time, right? If you want to go out this week and get stuff, you can bring it by here during the week if you want to. If it's cans and stuff, you can set it right outside the door and we'll put it in. If the door's open or if one of us is here, just ring the doorbell and we'll come let you in. There's baskets right out here or boxes right out here in the foyer, all right? Also, just mention this, again, we mentioned last week, Awana listeners, okay? We could use a few more Awana listeners. Sunday nights, you can be permanent, you can be fill in, whatever it is. This is a way to invest in eternity, investing in boys and girls' lives, listening to them, being able to work with them with their memory verses and talk to them and talk to them about Jesus and share with them and stuff. So it's a good opportunity there. If you're interested in that, Mike Edwards, who's in our first service, is our commander. You can see Mike. Put it down on your communication cards. Come see me. We'll get you in contact to the right place. All right? Awesome. Good deal. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? 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 Listen, let's go out this week. Just keep it on our mind. And let's not invest in things that are going to just be temporary. Amen. Let's be smart about it. Let's invest in heaven. Brother Chris, would you close us with a word of prayer?